Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live right now on WWCR 5070. Glad to have you aboard here tonight. Got a great program for you. We're going to get started tonight by giving you our schedule for Passover, which is coming up next month in Murphy, North Carolina. We will be gathering there on the evening of the 18th. That'll be Sunday evening at the Mountain Vista Inn, where we will begin our services at 7 o'clock. And we want you to be there with us beginning on the 18th. The 19th will be the actual Passover day. We will have the evening meal that evening of the 19th. And then we will begin a wonderful week of fellowship, of breaking in bread and serving the name of Yahweh. You know, we're living in the last days. And so as you see that day approaching, you need to make an appointment to obey Yahweh's laws. We're going to talk about tonight the aspects of the covenant, and we're going to entitle our message, The Seeking of the Recovery of the Second Covenant. Now remember, we keep the second Passover, and we're going to give you spiritual examples of why that we do that. We're going to tell you that the disbanding of the first covenant that is spoken about in Genesis chapter 15, he promised Abraham the land that was referred to as Canaan, or the land of milk and honey. And ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't over there. That land was in a distant land because it was to Abraham's descendants. So it was future. Yahweh gave Abraham a promised covenant and then made it future as he began to make the sacred agreements at Genesis 15, chapter 15 through 18 and 20. He promised to give this land that was referred to as Canaan. This is the land of milk and honey. This is the New Jerusalem land. This is the second covenant land, if you will. The first covenant land was fulfilled when Yahweh delivered his people out of Egypt. That is a symbol of fleshly darkness. And he recovered them in the first covenant, keeping the agreement with Abraham. But we're going to show you that Yahweh made a new covenant. He expanded, if you will, if you follow the covenant trail, because Yahweh is always, he's always expanding, and he's always exchanging his ideals and developing them, because he gets the big picture. We only see the narrow picture because narrow-minded people only think in narrow-minded ways. But Yahweh had a greater plan for the seed of Abraham. In this case, it was Isaac, not in all the seeds, because it was a covenant given to Isaac, not to the seed of Abraham. A lot of people think that the covenant went to Abraham's seed. It went to, we're talking about the spiritual covenant, it went to the house of Isaac. Isaac got everything, he recovered everything that Abraham had. And Yahweh expanded, as he talked again, in the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, if you would like to refer to that. In verses 1 through 14, he changed his name to Abraham and promised that he would become the father of a multitude. Now, his seed would inherit the land of Canaan, and Yahweh would be their God. And the nations and kings, an unending nations and kings, not nation singular, as most people think that he was talking about Israel and Palestine. Yahweh's plan was for the seed to be scattered into the earth. And we know that he did scatter the power of the holy people, and that he would cause them. Now, this is for the sins of the fathers. We'll get into a little bit of that, and then we'll get down into the real reason of the second Passover. It's a marvelous, and it's a wonderful, magnanimous revelation if you can be spiritual enough to see the overall plan that Yahweh had for his people. 17:1 through 14 in Genesis, he gives this required plan to Abraham and his descendants to fulfill part of the agreement, only part. All the males who were over 8 days old lived with him, had to be circumcised under that first agreement. As he begins to broaden the spectrum here of the covenant, and then in Exodus 19, let's go that real quick as we're going to ride a fast horse and you get your pen and paper. Exodus 19, verses 5 through 6, you're going to read Yahweh expanded again the covenant. He keeps expanding this covenant. When he spoke sons of Israel through Moses while they were in captivity in Egypt, he promised. Now, here's what he said. If you listen to what I tell you and keep my sacred covenant, my agreement, you will be a special people to me that will be higher than all other nations. God does have respect to two persons. He doesn't have respect of. Remember this now. God does not have respect of, he has respect to. He respected the sacrifice of Abel over the sacrifice of Cain. So he didn't have respect of, he had respect to. So remember that as you think about that. Well, God don't have, God loves everybody. God does not love everybody. That's obvious. Because he don't love the devil, he don't love he don't love liars, he don't love people that are plotting and planning and deceiving. He hates deception, he hates darkness, and we know it's a curse. And so then, he says, if you will do what I tell you and keep my sacred agreement, you will be a special to me and you will be higher than all other nations. You will become a holy nation. Now, I like this one. This is part of our teaching of the second Passover, which is the royal priesthood. This is in 19 Exodus. You need to read it. Let's expand it again now. Let's jump over to Exodus chapter 23. Here, Yahweh said again, if you will serve me, I will bless your bread, your wine, and your water. Now, you go back to the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll find that there was a man that stepped out of the fifth dimension. His name was referred to as a Melchizedek high priest. And he stepped out of the interdimension into the present third dimension, where Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings, where he had regained the possessions that had been stolen from his nephew Lot. And there the covenant was consecrated within the holy circle of the second appearance. This is now, ladies and gentlemen, the second appearance. And it runs in first covenant and second covenant. It runs in first Passover and second Passover. The first Passover was to deliver out of darkness. The second Passover is to bring you into the light. Isn't that wonderful that Yahweh is always expanding his covenant to his sons, a continuous priesthood, as it is written in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus? Now, don't let anyone in your land that is impotent or infertile, and you will have a full life. Do not let scrubs in. Do not let the baser sort. Don't let the filth and the trash into your country. All your enemies will flee from you. I will set your borders from the Red Sea of the Mediterranean, from the desert to the great Euphrates River. And of course, that was fulfilled with David. And I will hand over those who are living in the land now, at that time, and I'll drive them away for you, and you are to make no treaties with them or their gods. Now love you, gentlemen. We'll make a treaty with anything you can chase, drag, pull onto the used car lot of this nation. We've accepted everything that you would want to stay away from this country. We've accepted into our country, and you can see how our country is benefiting from the rebellion of the prince or the royal priesthood, the sons of Yahweh. These are the congealite blood beings that built his nation. We are to keep it in a racial covenant family. You say, oh, well, God's not racist, Pastor Buddy. Well, we have reasons to know that he is racist when he talks about for you to keep yourself pure and unspotted, and as a family of royal priesthoods who have taken ourselves and been made to believe that we're no different from the rest of the world. We've been lowered to the standards of the world, to the impotent and the infertile. We have changed our covenant and broke Yahweh's laws, and we are paying for the extinction as we're going to become extinct as it was in the days of Noah, unless there is what is known as a divine intervention. Notice this. If you will, we're moving up now from Exodus 23 over to 24. Now, let me show you the expansion of the covenant again, just to give you some idea of Yahweh's ever-changing, ever-increasing. And now he's beginning to do something here. He's going to take his people, which are called by his name, which have his genetic characteristics, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You of all the people in the earth have I chosen. And now we have been persuaded by the falsehood of ministers. These are the serpent seed ministers that have come in and convinced us that we're all one blood, that we're all alike. There's no difference in none of us. We're all God's people. God loves everybody. God's going to save everybody. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. Let's go to Exodus 24. Listen as me as I read verses 7 and 8. Moses took the scroll of the covenant, the sacred of agreement, and he read it to the people, and they said, we will do and pay attention to everything that Yahweh has said unto us. Then Moses took the blood from the bulls and sprinkled it upon the people. Now this is the first Passover, a covenant. We're getting into covenants. And we're going to show you that the attempt for the second covenant, which is the recovery, the return, the revival that we're prophesying to come to a generation of children that is predestinated to return back to the old path. Because we have men and women today, they're suffering alone, not many, a few. My people are the fewest people upon the earth, he says. And Yahweh's people are used to being alone. They're used to loneliness. Loneliness is their companion. That was the Messiah's companion, loneliness. He had no place to lay his head. And his doctrine, which was astounding, ladies and gentlemen, and he is the author of this divine royal priesthood, second covenant Passover that we're going to reveal to you. If you had time to come and listen to the explanations and the scriptural metaphors that tie uniquely the royal priesthood into the second covenant, not the first. The first was a staging area from darkness. The second is from darkness to light. And ladies and gentlemen, the second recovery, the second covenant, the second Passover is typical for the metaphors that we're teaching, that in the last days Yahweh will use these enlightened sons of the royal priesthood. They are standing in the sacred circle, taking the oath of royal priesthood, sworn to uphold the laws and to curse and to bless those who are responsive or unresponsive. A blessing if you serve me, he said, or a curse if you refuse to do so, as it's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 27. Ladies and gentlemen, the expansion of this covenant. I will obey, said the people, everything that you have said in the blood of the sacred agreement. And the things that they agreed to is the extension of the sacred amendment, which is in Exodus chapter 31, as we're moving very rapidly toward the expulsion of those who broke the first covenant. They were sent packing. They were sent with their heads down. They were sent humbled. They were sent cursed because they wanted to be like the world. They loved the things of the world, the nations around them. They loved to trade with them and make peace agreements with them. And there's no peace to the wicked, the Bible said, and that's exactly what happened when we read about the breaking of the first covenant. The first covenant, ladies and gentlemen, has been broken. The first set of tables of stone that was written by Yahweh's mighty finger and given to the people that if they would love him and keep his commandments, that they would have life. And if they broke them, they would have death, and said, choose this day who you will serve. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 17 and 18, now listen as we go, that he gave the law. This is the first covenant of the Sabbath and the Ten Commandments. So all of Yahweh's laws to Israel, including the Ten Commandments, were part of the first agreement. And now we know that in Leviticus, in chapter 26, as we jump over to the book of Leviticus, verses 14, I'm going to read quickly. We read the penalties, as we study the 26th chapter, that Israel was to pay if they broke their side of the agreement. Now, my question to you is, who broke which side of the covenant? Was it Yahweh that broke the agreement, or was it the people? Well, we know that Yahweh promised them. He said, if you will not listen to me and obey my commandments, these things I will do unto you. Your lives will be shortened. The seed in your ground won't produce. I will send the wild beast into the land, and they will eat you and kill your cattle. You will decrease in numbers, and your land will become empty. The infrastructure of your nation will be torn apart. Ladies and gentlemen, the beast of the field and the heathen have come into this land and flooded it. And as a result, it is because Yahweh is bringing a famine of bread among us. You will have to eat the flesh of your sons and your daughters that literally come to pass in the first covenant agreement because of their disobedience. Can you believe, with all the blessings that they had, with all the signs and the wonders that they had received, can you still believe that this stiff-necked, uncircumcised people would steal from a lack of faith that they would do the things that they've done? Of course. And will they do it today? Well, Yahweh, Yeshua, and the flesh body said, if they've done this in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bushes out here, the pastors, the preachers, they're nothing but dried up pastures. They are broken branches. They're dead men's bones laying in the valley of decision. And Yahweh says to the unfaithful house of Israel, not once but twice I will punish you with the Babylonians and the Romans. And ladies and gentlemen, he doubled the punishment by first delivering them over to Babylon, the house of Judah, as they went to the Babylonian captivity, and Israel had been given the punishment of the Assyrian captivity, and the third nation to come up and rise above them was the great dreadful beast of Rome, which is the heathen nations that were scattered around about him, simply because that they refuse to come and keep the first covenant. Now, the first covenant is going to be void. We're going to read where it's voided. Yahweh gave them up to reprobate mind to believe lies and be damned. Yahweh gave them up to uncleanliness. Yahweh gave them up to worship the heavens and the host of the heavens and the false and the pagan and the unproducing gods, as they followed the heathen and made leagues with them, married into their families, and let their families marry into the sacred holy people. Ladies and gentlemen, it was not pleasing to our Creator. Now, let's look at the Old Covenant and that sacred agreement, as we know in Numbers chapter 15, for example, it gives you this: there must be a just one law for you and for the aliens who live among you. Both you and the aliens that live among you must follow the same laws and the regulation. We're going to the Passover. They were allowed to have these alien servants, ladies and gentlemen. We've done fought one war in America over that, and the bad guys won. Sorry to say. You know why? Because not enough righteous people would stand up for the rights of the laws of Yahweh. And now, instead of standing for the truth in the face of opposition, when people are screaming against Yahweh's laws, truth still stands. And only those who stand with truth will be found in the truth, as we know that the second sacred agreement that we're fixing to get into. Now, I'm going to jump over real quickly over to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3. I'm in a hurry and riding a fast horse tonight because I've got a lot of ground to cover, and I will not have time to give this justice and time to go into and show you the examples that we could cite for you. We could actually cite you thousands of scriptures here instead of the precious few that we're going to give you. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Listen to me. You will have good things for your soul, for with you I'll proclaim an agreement that will go through the age. Now listen to this now. Here we are, Yahweh's trying to recover in Jeremiah a remnant. After he gave them a bill of divorce, he divorced Israel, sent them packing, sent them among the heathen, where they're still scattered unto this day. Ladies and gentlemen, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, listen to this. Look, the days are coming. Oh my, this is what I'm preaching about. This is the recovery of the second covenant. This is why that it's very important for you to learn the mysteries of the second Passover. Oh, these metaphors, these eye-opening things, these things that are hidden from the eyes of the world, these surface dwellers will never get this. It takes those who have their senses have exercised to discern between good and evil. The days are coming, saith Yahweh, when with the house of Israel I'll make an arrangement or a new agreement, as well as with the house of Judah, and then I'll conclude a new sacred covenant that's unlike the agreement that I made with your fathers. Now, right there it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is the recovery of the second covenant. We're now into the age where we can legally, spiritually, the time is right, and the day is far spent, and we need to be about our Father's business to conclude that we must begin to think about the new sacred covenant that we're about to recover here tonight. So now, by the words of the prophets, These times will be manifested and brought into divine order when it comes from the mouth of the prophets. For I will not reveal anything to the people except I first reveal it to the prophets. Ladies and gentlemen, the second covenant, preaching from the pinnacle of the strength of that second covenant, is the revelation of the second Passover. Did you know that the Messiah who died in the Passover was killed in substitute for, as a lamb? The typification of Passover is incredible. The revelations that come forth from the Passover is some of the most powerful revelations that I have ever received from the new agreements. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, I will show you secret things hidden from old. Known to the Heavenly Father was the advent of First Covenant, Second Covenant, First Passover, and Second Passover. Yahweh had a broader vision about the overall. Not only did he start it, he was able to see the finish of it. And during the midst of the breaking of the first covenant that he swore to Abraham, Abraham's seed broke the first covenant. Therefore, Yahweh said that he would take it and give it to a people. Oh, man. This sacred agreement to priests who are not under the law of Moses, where they have to offer the blood daily or yearly for the sins of the people. But he said, I will place my laws, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 18 through 22, I will write my laws into their heart. This is the Melchizedek Second Covenant impressed by the Heavenly Father through the revelation of the divine Second Covenant when he attempts to recover his people in the last days, that they return to the old path and find rest for the soul. The days are coming. Jeremiah 31:31 through verse 32. This is the most important for this age and time, the fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 31:31. The days are here that Yahweh has concluded a new sacred agreement that was not like the one he made with the fathers who broke the first one. This is the second agreement, and it's given to the sons of the Melchizedek high priest order, who know the revelation of the laws within the heart, and that they're not bound by a set of carnal interpreted principles. You see, the law was weak to the flesh, because flesh ruled. The Sanhedrin court was the interpretation of Yahweh's divine covenant agreement. And yet they were so blind and so corrupt. They extorted money. They waxed rich under the Mosaical laws as they extracted money and favors out of the people who were subservient to them. And they ruled over them with a rod of iron. Here, ladies and gentlemen, with the second recovery of the agreement, Yahweh writes his laws into your heart. And he puts them in your heart. And you will cry unto him, Abba, my Father. And the Father shall say, it is my people who are revelating the second covenant that I will say to them, I shall write my laws in this sacred agreement. I will arrange with Israel in those days, in our days, ladies and gentlemen. I will write my laws in their minds and hearts, and to them I'll be their God, and they shall be a people to me. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and brother that they should know me, Yahweh. For all will know me, from the smallest to the greatest, and I'll be kind toward their errors and their sins. And no way or I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. A new order. A Melchizedek, the second redemption, the second Passover. Now, you say, Pastor Buddy, why is it that the second Passover is so important to you? Well, we're going to give you the revelation of the second Passover when we get back here right after the break, as Miss Linda's queued us up a very appropriate song, that all the trees of the land should clap their hands for joy, ladies and gentlemen. So right after the station identification, you're listening to the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy. I'll be right back very quickly with a part two of the Divine Covenant. Everything that hath breath, the spiritual breath of revelation, that is, ladies and gentlemen, because it ain't everything that says, Lord, Lord, that's going to enter into the kingdom. And I'm going to assure you that the new covenant that's coming in is the end of the old sacred agreement. All things made new. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm really appalled that most ministers have never once figured out the mystery of the Passover. It is one of the most enlightening, in-depth revelations of the hidden things that our Creator used to express the truth and the knowledge that would flow from the revelations and the metaphors that is linked to the Passover. Did you know that your Messiah did not die in the first Passover? Well, you said, well, Pastor Buddy, if he didn't die in the first Passover, then when did he die? He died in the second Passover. You said, well, how could that be? Well, simply because we can read scriptures and give you texts that expresses the truth of the New Testament that proves that he was alive in the first Passover. Now, we have a $5,000 reward for anyone that can prove that he died in the first Passover. Now, if he didn't die in the first Passover, We do know that he died on a Passover. But did you know that he died in the second Passover? And this is the Passover for the unclean. Did you know that in spiritual matters, something that was unclean was not worthy to keep the first Passover? Did you know that you weren't worthy, that you were separated and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and a wall had been built through the Sanhedrin? And most of the people were in a far journey at the time that the Messiah stood upon the planet here 2,000 years ago, if we do believe that he died and rose again, and we certainly advocate that he did. But he did not die in the first Passover. There is ample proof for the truth of the word, which says that he was alive in the first Passover. We find him talking on the beginning of the 15th day, the first day of unleavened bread. That's the 15th, ladies and gentlemen. He died on the 14th. Well, he's talking during the first Passover of the Jews' Passover, according to Matthew chapter 26, according to the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, and according to the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, and according to the 13th chapter of the book of St. John. So we've got many witnesses on the subject that the Messiah was alive on the first day of unleavened bread of the Jews' Passover. And the Jews themselves, in verses 1 through 5, said, "Let's kill him." They plotted, they planned. It was their plan, as it was a custom on the times for those who had been imprisoned or had a death sentence pronounced upon them, for the Romans to come in and to crucify, because they knew that during the great festivals of Israel that men and women would see the horrible deaths imposed or inflicted upon man. This was their custom. And so then they could have psychological impact upon, because they didn't have television. Today you can see it on television. At that time, you had to see it in person. And so they would crucify these convicts and those who had been condemned to death. They would crucify them there live, where all the people that had gathered in for the festivals could see and take note and take warning. So it was a way of keeping social order. Now, they had already condemned the Messiah for preaching insurrection, and he'd already received the death sentence. However, they said, "Let's not kill him on our Passover," the Jews' Passover, the first Old Covenant Passover. You see, we're fixing to change the guard. We're fixing to change the covenant. Only Yahweh knew this. And if you are a learned Bible scholar, I marvel at the ignorance of those who profess to know the Bible and don't know these things. They're so ignorant and so foolish and so caught up with the Bible being layered and positioned in chapters, where that they're so confused, they think that they're in chronological order, and they're not. They're way off. But a bloodhound, a spiritual bloodhound, somebody that knows the end of the old sacred covenant is about to begin here. And a new covenant for the Melchizedek priest, those without sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when he was numbered with the transgressors, he was numbered with those unclean under the terms of Numbers chapter 9, where the term of the covenant was set for the second Passover. And so then, he was killed with a very few people in Jerusalem to see him. Because the first Passover went off without a hitch. The Messiah is still living. And I can say we have $5,000 to prove that he was living. And so then, we're not trying to show you that we know more than anyone, and so therefore we're offering money or reward. We're just trying to get your attention. We don't want to give you anything but the truth. And we want to give it as humble but as bold as we can, so that we can get your attention to study. The Bible says, see and ask for the open. The Bible says, search the scriptures. For when you think you got it all figured out, there might be something that you've missed. And this is one of the things that people have missed. In Colossians, listen to me in 2:13. That he kindly forgave all of our errors and wiped away the handwritten laws that held us down and oppressed us. He lifted it out of the way and nailed it to the pole on the second Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, that's when he took our sins away and wrote them in our heart. It's a new day. It's a new covenant. We don't have to go to Jerusalem anymore. We don't have to go and moan and groan about a temple not being there. We are the temple of Yahweh. And yet we got these deceivers that are practicing witchcraft over the people, keeping them in the first Passover, telling them that they can keep the first Passover scattered abroad, away from the temple, which is breaking the first covenant laws. And ladies and gentlemen, they want to live under the old covenant, but they want to accept Christ as their Savior. And you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake here and eat it too. Notice this. Yahweh is going to inaugurate the second agreement in this cup of the New Testament. It's the new law. And Yahweh's given it to his people as Yahweh's law is love. He loved you good enough to lay down his life in the second Passover. He was alive in the first one, ladies and gentlemen. I can read where he's speaking in the second Passover on the 15th day. Now, he was killed on the 14th, so it's impossible for him to talk on the 15th. If he was killed on the first Passover and the 15th, he was not. He was talking. He's been condemned as unclean because he touched Lazarus' dead body, whom he raised during the time of right before the first Passover. So they deemed him unclean. There's a justification to not kill him, but knowing that he would have to return to Jerusalem in the second Passover with those who had touched a dead body or those who had been on a far journey. Now, let's put him on the torture stake when he said it's finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He finished the law of fulfillment. He brought about to the sons of Yah and the daughters the Melchizedek love, because he loved you while you were yet in your sins, ladies and gentlemen. You were unclean and separate from the commonwealth. You were in a far journey. Your ancestors who had broke the law had been scattered along. Just a remnant was there to carry out Yahweh's sealing of the first covenant and to end it and to say it's finished. That's why he said it's finished. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the second covenant is not finished. It's only beginning. And as we rise up and we move through faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of that is the love of charity, and I spoke on it last night on WWRB 3.185, that charity is the rejoicing of the truth. We got so many imitators. We got so many seem right ways and people praying and prospering and practicing and casting the truth to the ground. We know, ladies and gentlemen, that the truth will stand, but it has to stand through the authority at the appointed time of Yahweh, and Yahweh will not reveal anything except he first reveal it to his prophet. Second Passover. That's why you need to keep it with us in Murphy, North Carolina. Coming up. It could be your last one, ladies and gentlemen. It could be the last Passover that anybody keeps. You never know. Remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it come in the days of Solomon. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, running to and fro, worrying about the economy and things of this nature. That's bad. Oh, yes, things are going to get worse. But what about your soul? What are you going to give in exchange? Would you like to be in festival if Yahweh came? Let's say that he came at a time. I honestly believe this. Not necessarily believing he's coming on Passover, but he did Passover in the first covenant on Passover. What's to say he wouldn't pass over again in the second one? And redeem the people. And blessed is the servant whom I find watching when I come. So your example of faith, and faith without works is dead. You can say, well, I love him, and, oh, I can keep it up here, and I can do this, and I can do that. Bible said, fail not to assemble yourself together. Make an effort. Come on. Well, hey, Jimmy, you're only going around one time, and you know, I've been to literally hundreds of festivals. I don't regret one. I have spent a lot of money. My life has been wrapped up in serving Yahweh for over 50 years. I don't regret one minute. Even in the bad times, and even in the good times, even in the dark times and the light times, everything was for its appointed time, and all things worked together to good them who love Yahweh and are called according to his purposes. So Yahweh did not, and I'm going to repeat this, going to make this an emphasis. I'd like to put an emphasis on this and tell you that Yahweh said, I'm going to make you a promise that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, as is recorded in Luke chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. If you've been faithful of a few things, he said, I'll make you ruler over many. But about those that say and do not, you know what he said about those? I'll spew you out of my mouth because you need hot or cold. Are you ready to stand up in the last day for the two covenants? The last covenant is the one that's coming in. The old covenant is old, waxing old, and ready to vanish. He died in the second Passover. And so then, if you celebrate the second Passover, you're celebrating the one he died in. That's why you're celebrating the Passover, ladies and gentlemen. These are metaphors. These are teaching aids. These are spiritual revelations. You have not because you ask not. And the day that you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. That's what he says. And so then, let's be about our Father's business. Now, if you'll notice that the types and the shadows of the passing, Yahweh wanted you to notice that in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 5, and verse 14, over to verse 17, if you'll mark those and cross-reference them, you'll see that he was planning on going somewhere to keep a Passover on the 15th day. Now, it came to pass on the first day of unleavened bread, his disciples came to him and said, where do you want us to go to eat the Passover? Now, wait a minute here. He's supposed to be dead on the 14th. How could they talk to him if he died in the first Passover? They're talking to him, ladies and gentlemen. You don't talk to a corpse. When he died, he died. He couldn't speak. And we know that he did die on the torture stake, but he did not die in the first one. He died in the second one. This is the second covenant. That's why he brought it in. Hallelujah. He didn't die for all those Sanhedrins that were down there honoring the first Passover. They had turned that place into a den of thieves. And Yahweh would have rather hang with two thieves than hang out with those who profess to be good men, and yet they were the true thieves. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important for you to see the second Passover. It's important. It's important for you to get a hold of it. Because my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Let's look at something. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse, the last days will bring fierce times. People will love themselves and they love money. They will be braggers, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to the parents, unthankful, disloyal, unholy. They won't love their families or be willing to agree to anything. They will be slanderers. They have no self-control. They will be wild. They won't do anything good, but will do everything evil. They will be betrayers. They are headstrong and proud. And they will refer themselves to pleasures more than to servers of Yahweh. Are we living in those days, ladies and gentlemen, does it tell you anything that we are definitely in the second advent, the recovery, the light, the revelation, the sons of Yah manifesting, coming forth as Melchizedek priest? That's why we have the services where we stand on sacred altars.
You say, well, I don't believe in that, glory to God.
Well, that's okay. You come under 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
I'd rather go to a bell box. Well, go right on.
Go there, eat, drink, and be merry with them. Eat you some crackers and grape juice and say you're keeping Passover. Pass the cup. Pass up the blood. Pass up the stench. Pass up the truth. Pass up the metaphors, the revelation. Teach your children.
Oh, well, I don't believe in that old bloody stuff now, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God, shouldn't I?
Well, they make it so clean. They put their little grape juice bottle under a little silver pitcher. They pour it out in these little silver cups and pass it around to the people, and the people sit on their pews and wipe their mouth and eat and say they've done no wrong. You wouldn't make a good Israelite. The Israelites didn't make good Israelites. An Israelite is one that loves Yahweh and fears Him and keeps His commandments. A so-called is somebody that's lukewarm, saying and doing not. That's why we got a world, we got a nation of sayers and a very few doers. Come and see it. Oh, it's sad. It's a solemn assembly. Weep. Mourn. It is a perfect illustration of what your Messiah went through. When you see these things come to pass, you'll know that the days of the second covenant is upon you. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to close and get out of here. My time is all fleeting gone. I want you to remember again, there is not one scripture anywhere in the Bible that will show you that He died in the first Passover. Quite the contrary. He was alive and well. I just give you one reference and could give you three more if I had time. We've already preached on this several times. I just want to capstone this. We're in the season of the first Passover. We're going to let that pass. We're going to celebrate the one He died in. That's the next one. 30 days after the first one, we will be in Murphy, North Carolina, where we will slaughter a lamb and have a meal with bitter herbs. We're going to wash feet. We're going to fellowship. We're going to bring about His dying, continuously remembering it. You can celebrate the holidays of a certain noted individuals of this nation. I can name a few, but it just makes me sick to even think about them, to compare them with my Yahweh. Oh, man, how I love to honor Yahweh. How I love to come together with those of the second Passover and know that He didn't die in the first one. He died in the second one. And that here I am remembering that with tears, a solemn assembly of those that's gathered around. And they watch the animal slain and its body carved up. And we eat its body. And we eat its flesh and drink its blood. That's what the Messiah was referring to. And every time he was talking about Passover, the death of the lambs, there was lambs dying. He was the lamb. He died on the day of Passover, the 14th. He was alive in Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5, 14 and 17. He was alive. And so then they got him 30 days later, ladies and gentlemen, when there was only a few, the unclean, and those that had been on a far journey. And when they hung him, he had his head facing west. He was looking out into the aisles where he noticed. He said, oh, I just wish I had time to bring you the aisle scriptures that I intended to bring you, but I just don't have time. He said he would recover those in the aisles. That's those in a far journey. And those in a far journey are waking up to the divine covenant revelation. You can write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip code is 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. My telephone number, as I'm live right here, ladies and gentlemen, on this date and time, we're alive here on the 13th day of April. Area code 423-626-2172. My good friend, Dr. Gary, who lost his precious wife, Miss Cherise. We send this message out to you, Dr. Gary, tonight down in the great state of Mississippi. 1-877-289-7439. Call Doc up and talk to him, and he'll appreciate that. Words of encouragement he needs it now, and we pray for his family and his two lovely children. Bless his heart. He's going to have a job trying to raise them. My good friend, Brother Paul, up in the great state of Michigan, is 1-800-253-2748. Contact Brother Paul, and you can get that information from Brother Paul at 1-800-253-2748. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old clock on the wall has caught me here tonight, and I'm going to have to get on out of here. And don't you know that Yahweh is coming for a people that's kept the faith and hadn't denied his name? And if you believe that, you can clap your hands for joy as Miss Linda is queuing us up, and I'd like to take us out with that beautiful song, Clap Your Hands for Yahweh. I'll see you Friday night with Scott, Brother Randall, on WWRB 3.185. Saturday night, Pastor Buddy at 3.185 on WWRB. Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you next Sunday night here on WWCR 507 around the world. Yahweh bless you, and keep the faith.